want to use you as my guinea pigs. I just wrote a new song. And it takes me back to my folk music roots. So just bear with me. I was thinking about the one thing that I know that I'm sure of is that Jesus saves me, that he saved me. He continues to save me. He continues to dust me off. And so I don't write in minor keys, but it goes like this. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, yes I know. Jesus saves when I come to the end of my days and I come face to face with the grave. One clear assurance will remain, Jesus saves. Tasted living water, tasted the manna from above. My hope is found in no other. I've been washed in his blood. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Yes, I know. Jesus saves when I come to the end of my day. And I come face to face with the grave. One clear assurance will remain, Jesus saves. Rest on his unfading glory and the promises he made to me. He is the author of my story. His glory one day I will see. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Yes, I know. Jesus saves when I come to the end of my days, and I come face to face with the grave. One clear assurance will remain, Jesus saves. Amen.
There's a lot of opposition from other faiths and religions. And so, Lord, we just pray protection and provision. We pray that you'd cover them and you'd go ahead of them and enclose them behind. And you'd provide every need that they have, both their emotional, their physical needs and protection, as well as their financial needs that are just constant. And so, Lord, your storehouse is huge and filled. And I pray that you would feel theirs. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said.
Amen.
God bless you. You know, I also found out and want to point out these Bob Longmont and Bud Gardner will be heading over to Uganda in February, Daniel. And what they do is they're involved in a ministry of wheelchairs. And they have this unique wheelchair that I'll let you, Bob and Bud, explain the wheelchair to you. But it's one that they can kind of carry. It's very mobile. It's easy to get around. And they go to different countries. I know they've been to China. And where all have you been, Bob?
Vietnam, Laos, South America, Latin America.
Bob's been on 14 trips. Yeah. And he's making 15 coming up in February. And they would have gone a few months ago, but Bob drove his bike out in front of a car, and or the car drove his car into Bob, and that slowed him down a little bit, but he's back on his feet, and they're going in February. They have given out 900,000 wheelchairs. Oh, wow. in this ministry. Isn't that amazing? And so way to go, guys. So, you know, and that just goes to show you that we have been fighting a cultural war in our country today, and there are those who don't think that we're exemplary as a nation. You know, if you wanted to build a case against America, it wouldn't be hard to do. Matter of fact, if I wanted to build a case against you, it wouldn't be hard to do. And if you wanted to build a case against me, you could find a reason to discredit me and tell me I'm not exemplary. And so what's been going on in America is that cultural war that we've all very aware of that's caused great division in our nation. And there are those who hate our nation. There are those, and I look at this more as a spiritual war. It's not that, you know, one political side is right and God's on their side and the other's wrong and God's not on their side. It's easy to come to that conclusion, but I don't think God takes sides. I think if we're really praying correctly, we tell God, don't take sides, just take over. Amen. And when he takes over, politics just take different directions, and we see them from in different perspectives. And so what we're trying to do is fight as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. We look at a nation that is morally, and some of us go way back to the 60s when we were in college and the Vietnam War was going on and all the protests and all the violence that followed that in different places. There's a spirit of violence in protest, in a lot of the protests. It's not that we don't have the right to protest, and we do have the right to do that, and it can be done in the right way, but then, you know, what happens with riots and tear gas and rubber bullets and worse is looting and rioting follows a lot of that. And there's different spirits that are loose in the world. And, you know, I've got some scripture here about how God disciplines people, but he also disciplines nations. And he raises up one nation and he puts down another. And God feels very strongly about who we are as nations and countries. And especially a country like Israel that he founded and started and created a people for himself. And then we can take that personally over here as Gentiles, because he's chosen us for himself, and we've been called just like the Jewish nation out of the darkness into the light. So Paul pointed out very clearly that a Jew is not a Jew by ethnicity. He's a Jew, a spiritual Jew, when he's a Jew in his heart, when he's been circumcised of heart. And so in that regard, we could consider ourselves God's chosen people. Peter put it this way, that he's called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light, that we're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. And he has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And so in that regard, we're God's people, we're a chosen nation, and God chose us for himself. And you know, when you see the spirits that are loose, and the spirits of violence, the spirits of deception, and Jesus confronted those when he came head on. And those, especially the religious leaders who are corrupt, who are leading the people in the wrong direction, who are seeking ego and wealth and position and power, who are arrogant and proud. And Jesus just looked at that and he just says, you guys are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer and a liar from the very beginning. And when you open your mouth, all you can do is lie because it's your native language. We've seen that. And we've seen it in government. We see it in churches. We see it in homes, in communities. We see it in business and marketplace. Just about anywhere you want to look, you could see the spirit, the tares that have been sowed among the wheat. And even those of us who might be considered wheat in that analogy that Jesus gave us, in that parable that he told, even those that feel like, well, we're wheat. I was thinking this when Sam was explaining worship to us. And it's you know, worship is not a show. It's about a participation. It's about worshiping from the heart. But you know, I find a lot of guys, and I've been there myself, that you have a hard time worshiping because there's unresolved stuff in your heart. Maybe there's sin in your heart and you have a hard time raising your hand or standing up or singing loudly or however you might want to express yourself, because that nagging voice in your heart says, well, you hypocrite. How could you be worshiping God after saying and doing and all the things that the devil comes and accuses? He's the accuser, the liar and the deceiver. And we know his voice better than we know the Holy Spirit's voice. The average guy that professes Christ knows that voice better and hears it more clearly than he hears the Holy Spirit, because he's rarely in the Holy Spirit's presence. And that's a responsibility that each one of us have, to get ourselves in his presence. And so I was sitting there thinking about worship, and I said, I have to worship from my true self, not from my false self. The false self is a self that's, you know, I do have a sin nature and I'm still sinning and fighting it, and it's a battle every day. But when I'm going to worship God, I'm going to worship him from what I know and declare. I'm going to worship God from that heart of mine that loves Christ. And God knows my heart. And he knows I hate my sin. And he knows I want to worship him freely, and I want to worship him truly. And I can worship him out of my true self, the true saved self, forgiven self, the self that's been shown mercy and compassion and grace. And so I want to worship out of that guy. Not out of the guy that's still fighting the temptations and the sin and committing them and maybe has unresolved and maybe hadn't confessed them all. God's given us that, and that makes us exemplary. If we're going to find anything to be bragging about, it's that we have a God who forgives. I'm bragging on my God, and that's what Sam was saying. Let's brag on him. Let's focus on him, not on our sin, not on our shortcomings, not on our failures, but focus on his righteousness and his grace and his mercy. Let's celebrate that. We do that every time we have communion. And today up in our prayer time, we were making declarations. God has made declarations to us as to who we are. When I start thinking about Thanksgiving for anything, gosh, I could thank God for all the bounty and for the house I live in and the cars I get to drive and the neighborhood I get to live in and his provision and my family, and I could go on and on about all that. And I am thankful for all that. But man, that pales in comparison to my gratefulness to God for my salvation, that I'm saved, that I'm forgiven, that I know for sure, because of God's promises and what he's told me and assured me in my heart, I'm going to heaven. I'm not worried about that. I'm not sweating that. I'm just going to fight the good fight as long as I'm here. Just like Paul said, I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I want to do all that. But I want to have a confidence, not in myself, but I want to have my confidence in my God and make declarations about who I am. I'm a man of God. Absolutely. And I'm not confused about that. Am I a perfect man of God? No, let me check. No, I'm not. I'm not a perfect man of God. I have flaws and failures. I do sin, but God has given me an avenue in 1 John 1:9 that I'll never forget the day I discovered what to do with sin. I can confess it to the Lord, and he'll forgive me. If you'll confess your sin, I'll be faithful. As God's, my God is faithful. I'll be righteous. My God is righteous and just. And I'll be faithful and righteous to forgive you from all your sin. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. What a great God I have. And this is the God who formed the country that I get to live in. I don't know why I've got a chance to live here, and all the Christians, and we've never had to suffer for our faith. We've never had to pay a cost for our faith. We even resent the offering plate sometimes when it comes by, or someone mentions money. So we've never had to pay for anything in regard to our faith. God has paid everything. And we need to pay close attention, because we're the richest nation that ever existed. We're the freest nation that ever existed. We could save a lot of ever existed kind of things about this country that God has given us to live in, that God has gifted us to be citizens of. And now we see people burning our flag because that flag does not represent the political worldview that they have. And so they burn the flag. It's nothing new. They burned the flag back in the 60s. They're burning the flag today. There's always going to be that spirit that wants to erase freedom. Now, if we want to find cause to criticize in America, you know, we did have our slavery. We do have our racial problems. We do have our marketplace corruption and corruption even in our religions. And so, you know, they're not to be defended. It's true. I can't make up for all those years when I grew up in the South in the way that we treated black people. There's nothing I can do about that today except repent of that and make sure I don't do it anymore. And understand that I was on the wrong side in that battle. And we all thought we were in the dark, thinking we were in the light and we were really in the dark. And it took some very difficult days to begin to change that. And it hasn't really changed totally, and it never will. There'll always be racial problems over and ethnic problems and political problems. There's always going to be that. As long until Jesus Christ comes and puts an end to sin, it's always going to be there. I have to just decide who I am. I have to decide what I'm going to stand for. I have to make my own declarations of who I am in Jesus Christ. And then I have to live those out. But it helps to make formal declarations. God made a declaration in Romans 5:8. The verse is, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's that word that says, but God demonstrates. God clearly showed. God revealed his love. I like declared his love. But God declares his love for us in such a way that he gave his own son. Even while I was a sinner, God made a declaration. And his declaration was, even though you're a sinner, I'm going to send my son to die for you. Even though you don't care, I'm going to send my son to die for you. Even though you may reject him and spit on him and nail him to a cross, I'm sending my son to die for you because I love you. I'm making an official statement here, a declaration, an official, formal. It's right there on the cross. Not because you're good, not because you earned it, not because you're worthy, but because I'm worthy, because he's worthy. We need to get this straight. This is just basic Christian doctrine. And if you're going to live the Christian life and follow Jesus Christ, especially in the days that we're living in, the days ahead, we're going to have to get these things down, and we can't be wishy-washy about them. We're going to have to make declarations. Joshua 24:15. And Joshua was looking at the nation of Israel, and they were following a lot of idols. And they had drifted away from God and intermarried with other women for other religions and started embracing those religions and those idols. And so Joshua, this was his farewell address. And he knew that he was fixing to go where his fathers had gone and all his ancestors had gone and where the soul of men go. And so he just challenged them. He says, you guys can go and serve the gods of the Amorites, whose land you're living in, or the gods of your fathers and ancestors beyond the Euphrates over there. If you're going to serve them, if you don't feel like it's good to follow our God, then choose one. Go find a god. You serve them. But as for me and my house, we're not confused about who we're serving. We're serving the Lord. We're serving our God. We're serving Jehovah. We're serving Jesus Christ. And we're going to do it in the spirit of Christ. And we're going to do it like Christ. That's the reason we need to get to know Christ. Paul says, I want to know him. There's a declaration for you. If you want to make a declaration, declare with Paul, I want to know him. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. I want to know Jesus Christ. Could you make a declaration to Jesus Christ in front of people today so that this whole nation knows I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus Christ. I'm not proud of everything Christianity has stood for. I'm not proud of how a lot of Christians act. I'm not proud of how I act sometimes or how I fall short. I'm not proud sometimes of the church, but it is God's church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we're not perfect, and we don't have perfect leaders, and we have imperfect churches, but we're out there somehow doing good. And God will take anything we'll offer him and bless it. And he's looking for ways to bless us. As a matter of fact, God wants to bless you today. He wants you to have his blessing fall on you. Now, we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and that's what I want my soul to do, to bless the Lord. But God is a blesser. And he told Abraham, Abraham, I'm blessing you that you might be a blessing to all nations. And that's why God blesses us. God doesn't bless us just because he loves to bless us. He says, look, you don't ask your father for bread and he gives you a stone or a scorpion or a snake. He loves to bless his children. He loves when we come to him to give us what we need and sometimes what we just want. But we have to be careful. Because what we want and what we need can be two different things. And he may give us what we ask for. And it may not be the best thing. So that's why we pray like Jesus prayed and ask like Jesus asked. Father, I ask you to have this cup pass from me. But not my will, your will be done. We live in a nation today that was formed, and it's different from any nation that I've ever heard of, that I've ever studied. And, you know, I wasn't much of a student, but I liked history. And the nation that we have today is different. It's unique. There's never been another nation like our nation because there's never been another God like our God. And it was formed around who he is. It was formed around the Bible and the principles of Scripture. That doesn't mean that everybody that signed the Declaration of Independence was a believer and followed Christ. I think a lot of them really did. Not all of them. But they, all of them, stacked hands on the fact that we're going to have a nation that's formed out of biblical principle. Honoring the dignity of men. And inalienable rights. That men want to be free. And the pilgrims landed. When they set foot on this continent, they landed because all they wanted was religious freedom. They just wanted to be able to worship their God without persecution, have that freedom. And so we established the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion, inalienable rights, equality, those things. And then what we found was when the Spirit of God starts forming in a man's heart, what he forms is things like generosity. I looked up that and it says being kind and understanding and not selfish. Now, if you're going to be in a nation and you want to live in a neighborhood or a country, do you want to live in a country that's kind, understanding, and not selfish? Or do you want to live in one that's ruthless and hard and brutal, who doesn't understand and not interested in understanding, but is more into power and control and wealth and position? Because that's what most nations are. That's just about what every nation that's ever rose and fallen, that's just what they are the nations that have had a democratic, if you will, a republic, who stood for generosity and benevolence and compassion and grace. Those nations can fall too. And they fall the same way that the Jewish nation would continue to fall if you read the book of Judges and just cycle in one generation after another. And it's the same pattern in every generation. And we're following the same pattern in our nation today. And we're just seeing a nation disintegrate before our very eyes. A nation that started and still has generosity and compassion. That still will go out and give 900,000 wheelchairs to needy people around the world. And we should do that because we have the resources. We've been blessed to be a blessing. And this nation was built on being a blessing. It was built on benevolence. That's a disposition to do good and to be kind. It's a generous gift. It means to be shown favor and courtesy and grace and mercy and to sacrifice to get it. That's the kind of country that we have. That's the kind of country we've always been. But when this other spirit comes in and he begins to dominate, he waxes and the Spirit of God is, we've shaken our fists. Why do the nations roar and shake their fist in my face and say, we will not have this God ruling over us. Let's break his shackles. Let's break his cords. Let's have our own king, as Israel asked God for. We want our own king. We want our own nation. We don't want these priests and prophets ruling over us. We want a king like everybody else. And God told him, he said, you know, well, okay, I could give you a king, but let me tell you what he's going to do. He's going to put your children in the armies and make them fight battles. He's going to make servants and slaves out of you. And he went on and on saying the bondage and the insecurity and the fear that you're going to have when you have that kind of ruler over you. Right now you have the prophets who look to God to rule over you. The God who's compassionate and merciful and graceful. And you're telling me that you want that God of control that God of brutal control and power, and that power that corrupts and absolute power, you want to give that to him, which corrupts absolutely? You want that guy to rule over you? Well, yeah, we do. We're tired of these prophets. We're tired of God. And so our nation today has said pretty much the same thing. We don't want prayer in our schools. We're not a Christian nation. We don't want prayer anywhere, as a matter of fact. And we don't want people who pray. See, there's a very violent spirit there. There was a violent spirit when the Nazis took over Germany. Human history is filled with Nazis, of whatever they were called and whatever the genocide was that they were perpetrating. The answer to them was just kill them and get rid of them. So in Cambodia, we had the killing fields, and we have a guy that's in our ministry from Cambodia, and he came right through the killing fields to escape Cambodia. And that's what happens when you see the devil at work. You see, the devil is a devil of a liar and a murderer and a deceiver, and he's corrupt. He feels no conscience. He feels no remorse. And as a matter of fact, he feels like he, and Jesus told his own disciples, there's going to come a day when they're going to kill you and murder you and think they're doing God a favor. And that's a spirit that gets into control. That's a spirit that's trying to wipe out generosity and goodness and freedom. And they may do it, and they've done it in other nations. It may happen in this one. That they can wipe out the freedom to act that way and live that way. But you know what they can't wipe out? They can't wipe out Jesus Christ and your salvation in your heart. And you need to really get this down, and I do too, that you have no secure place in this world. You don't have a right to the freedoms that we've had. It's not because you're worthy. Some of us fought in Vietnam. But for the most part, we haven't laid our life down for our freedoms. It's been given to us. And we've accepted it. It's not a right. It's been a privilege to have the freedoms that we have. And if the winds are blowing that are going to take those freedoms away, I still have freedom in Jesus Christ. I still have the truth that sets me free. And there's nothing they can do about that. They can't take that away from me. They can kill me. But Jesus told me, don't be afraid of those that can kill your body. Be afraid of him who could send your soul to hell for all eternity. If you want to be afraid of somebody, be afraid of that guy. That would be God. And so I don't have to be fearful about all that. I can be secure in Jesus Christ. I don't have to, but if I'm anchored to this world, if I'm more shaped by this culture and this world than I am by biblical culture and the Bible and who Jesus stood for in his spirit and his heart, I'm going to be fearful. I'm going to wring my hands. And God said, no hand wringing here. I'm doing something. I'm at work behind the scenes. You just keep preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. You just keep lifting up him and making your declaration to say to this culture, serve whatever God you want to serve. Serve the gods of your political influence. Serve the gods of this religion. Serve that God and that God if you want to, and you don't find it desirable to serve Jehovah God that we've always worshipped in this nation. If you don't find that desirable, go ahead and worship those other gods. Make a choice. Decide. I'll tell you what my house is going to do. It's for me and my house, we're serving God. And that's what we have to do every day. I was asked this morning, were you thankful yesterday? I said, yeah, and I'm thankful today too. And I'm going to be thankful tomorrow. And you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for my salvation in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I said this before, I'll say it again. I want you to know this. My God died for me on the cross. And I declare that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And there's no other way to get to God except through Jesus Christ. That's my declaration. And I declare that because that's what he declared. And I'm taking my stand on that rock. And you can shake me if you want to, but I cannot be shaken off that rock because he holds me to that rock. It's not my great commitment. It's not my great courage and bravery, although it doesn't hurt. It's Jesus Christ that holds me on that rock. He established me on the rock that cannot be shaken. It cannot be taken away from me. So I put my hopes and dreams in something that can never be taken away from me. If I put my hopes and dreams in anything else other than Jesus Christ, everything can be taken away. I can lose my family. I can lose my wealth. I can lose my health. I can lose my freedoms. But no one can take my salvation away from me. So what are you going to pay attention to? All those other things that can be taken away from you? Are you going to pay attention to your soul, to Jesus Christ? Are you going to be a man of prayer? Are you going to be a man under the authority of God's word? Are you going to link together with guys like this that are chasing after Jesus Christ? What are you going to declare? What declaration are you willing to make? I'm a man of God. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. There's something about making a formal and an official declaration. When you were baptized, if you were baptized, after giving your heart to Jesus Christ, you were making a declaration, you were making a statement that I've died with Jesus Christ. He's forgiven all my sin. I've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. I rise to new life in Him, and I'm not the same man I used to be. I'm a different guy. So when I go to worship, yes, I'm flawed, but I come to worship out of my true self, not that false self, not that old man, but the new man in Jesus Christ is how I'm going to worship. So the next time you go to worship, don't let that old false self keep you from freely worshiping God. Worship out of that heart of forgiveness. Worship out of that heart of gratefulness and thankfulness for your salvation. Can I get an amen from the congregation?
Amen.
I'm worn out.